Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I'm so happy to hang out with you guys tonight. You guys could be doing anything else, but you're hanging out with me, and I love it. Thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoyed the show last night with Lee Cox from The Wire. We had a nice conversation. Look for his new show coming out December 22nd. It is called, Snap. And it's about what's going on right now. And it's six different stories of some craziness that's going on now. And Snap, I guess, is people who are going to snap with what's going on. So, but tonight we've got a great show. We've got a producer, actress, writer, Heather Massey with us. And she is currently doing a one-woman show. Currently, I believe she's been doing it a while. We're going to find out. It's called Hedy, The Life and Adventures of Hedy Lamarr. So, everybody, welcome to the show, Heather Massey. Hi, Heather. How are you? Thank you for hanging out tonight.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Thrilled to be with you. Happy to be with you and everyone listening this evening.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm fascinated to know why you are so fascinated with Hedy Lamarr.
Because she's fascinating.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I was in the sciences, and I started university in astrophysics because I wanted to be an astronaut, and somehow instead ended up with a theater arts degree. So eventually I decided that I needed to take science out of the box I had put it in for many years and to marry my love of science with my love of art. And so I was looking for a woman in science to feature in a solo play so I could take it anywhere in the world. And I found Hedy Lamarr as a very unexpected subject to feature as a woman of science. Because Hedy Lamarr, did you know much about her before you heard about
Well, I knew she was an actress and was considered one of the most beautiful women at the time back in the day. And, you know, I had no idea she was an inventor, and not only an inventor, but almost saved a lot of lives during World War II, right, I believe.
Well, that was her intention. She wanted to save lives and help the Allied forces and her new country, the United States, defeat Hitler. So she and her co-inventor, George Antheil, she brought him on to work with her when she had this idea about torpedo guidance to improve it so it wouldn't be interceptable and that the signal would be unjammable. She and George gave the patent to the U.S. Navy. They just gave it to the Navy, and the Navy sort of neglected its value. May have been because she was a woman,
a
Hollywood
yeah.
star, mm. and he mm-hmm. was a music composer. What? It was just because they were able to think outside the box that everyone else, you know, all the other inventors might have been in when approaching this problem, and so they also was a bit ahead of its time, so implementing it would have been difficult at that time, but the Navy shelved it. They marked it top secret, and they shelved it, and they didn't use it then.
Well, we're using this technology, but I believe we're using this technology today, though.
Exactly. Mm. So, I'm going to backtrack for just a second.
Yeah.
So it was used. So the patent was in 1942 during the war. The Navy did use this technology. It was called the patent was called the Secret Communication System, and they did use it in 1959 for a sonobuoy system, and then it was used in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and
really?
Was part of the reason that did not escalate more than it did. So she accomplished in 1962 with the Cuban Missile Crisis what she was hoping to accomplish in 1942 with
right.
World War II.
Right.
And yeah, so this patent, it was declassified in about 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I see it, it launched the wireless technology revolution. So it's used
right.
in cell phones, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, a lot of the things that we're using, like you said, to talk right now and for people to listen in. A lot of Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and cell phones are being used.
And is it true that she never had a dime for any of this, too? Is that true?
She didn't, you know, and even though they gave the patent to the Navy, if it was implemented while it was under patent, they should have been compensated. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, can her family do something?
Aim.
Yeah, but can her family do something about
no.
that now?
No, there are time limits. And, they didn't know it was used in 1959, and if she'd known it was used in 1959, she would have renewed the patent. Even then, they didn't know in time to claim any compensation, which is disgusting.
I know.
And not only that, after she wasn't a citizen yet at the time, she gained her citizenship later. So they give this multi-billion-dollar patent away, and she gets a letter from the government saying that it was property of an enemy alien.
Huh.
So that's a bit insulting. But, you know, she had a really good, healthy frame of reference, and even in her latter years after she'd been dismissed by Hollywood, dismissed by the Navy, she still said, do good anyway, love people anyway,
right. now,
build anyway.
She had so many inventions that we don't even know how many she had, I believe. That's what I've read about her.
Oh, well, her main invention was the secret communication system.
Yeah.
It has just been implemented in so very many different systems. It's not only cell phones, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, but it's like global healthcare systems. It's
mm-hmm.
barcode scanning. It's everywhere. Wireless microphones, you know. So it's how we can communicate on our cell phones and not hear everyone else's phone calls. And it's also how we can fit so many lines of communication into a very narrow range of frequencies. Because you know how they're all split up between radio
yeah.
and telephone and TV and all these things. More of them can fit into these bands because
right.
of this technology, which is actually referred to as frequency hopping broad spectrum
mm-hmm.
technology.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and,
you know, a torpedo. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there were many ways to guide torpedoes, and they were all not very effective. But when they use radio guidance, they only use one radio signal, one frequency. So
right.
that could be intercepted, and
mm-hmm.
A false signal could be sent. But her idea was to hop frequencies, change frequencies really rapidly in a matching pattern between the torpedo and the guiding vessel, and that way that the full signal could not be intercepted.
Right, I know. And had they used it, they may have saved a couple of sinkings and whatnot. But yeah. Now I wanted to do you know how she took being considered I think they thought she was a spy at one point coming up with this technology and being from Austria. Do you know how she took that, and do you touch on that in the show?
You know what? I don't touch on them in the show. You know, a lot of people get very excited. They're like, oh, she was a spy. And it sounds very romantic. However, I did not find any evidence of this in anything, any of my research. And to me, it's really a misogynistic notion that a woman couldn't have done this. How she couldn't have done this. She must have stolen this from some man.
Right.
Now she had been, her first husband was a munitions dealer in Austria. She was from Vienna. And but she was very smart. She knew from a young age, she was very inquisitive. And from a young age, her father really fostered this inquisitiveness. And he would teach her how machinery works. He would teach her how the streetcar works, or printing press. And so she had a mind for mechanics. And so when she was there as a trophy wife sitting there in the dinner conversation about munitions, she knew what they were talking about.
Right.
So she was able to understand the problems and figure out how to fix them. So people think, oh, she must have stolen it from her munitions dealer husband. Well, if he knew about it, wouldn't he have been using it? If Mussolini knew about it, wouldn't he have been using it?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So she took it. She took her knowledge, and she's like, this is the problem. And she said ideas came to her easily. She was constantly solving problems and like, oh, that's the problem. This is how to fix it. And so that's what she did. She said, okay, the problem is being on one radio frequency. And, you know, these systems only use one of 18 frequencies. It's easy to detect it. So let's hop around 88 frequencies. And they won't get enough of the signal. They were also very sneaky in that they also, in their system, put in some false signals, some false information. So even if they were trying to piece it together, they wouldn't know what was real and what wasn't.
Right, they throw them off. And it was actually born from a player piano. I believe that two of them came up with that way.
Yes. Yeah, so the very intriguing thing one of the very intriguing things about this story is everything about George Antheil. He was definitely a jack of all trades. He was most known as a music composer, an avant-garde music composer. He also composed for a lot of some film scores in Hollywood. He was an amateur expert in endocrinology, which is how they met. So he had moved into an apartment with some other artists, and one of the people who'd been in the room he was in had all these books on endocrinology. So he read them and became a sort of expert, but he used those talents in order to make money by selling articles on endocrinology to Esquire. So one of them is The Gland Book for the Questioning Male, Reducing Laboratory Science to a Sidewalk Sport for the Grading of the Passing Females from A to D. So I have had to sort of boil that down to it's a will she or won't she guide, because it's Esquire, right? So because he was writing these articles for Esquire, her costumer, Adrian, suggested that they meet because the movie mogul, Louis B. Mayer, who had contracted her with MGM Studios, was always kind of griping about the size of her breasts because they were not very large. And so Adrian, he thought, well, maybe George Antheil could help you with this problem. And once they met, it was right around the time that she had this idea for improving torpedo guidance. And she found out that among the other things that he'd done, that he was a U.S. inspector of munitions for a time. So, and he also spoke German, so perfect, because she's from Austria, so her native tongue was German, and so she always enjoyed speaking German, and here was somebody who could talk through this problem with her. And it was, like you said, the player piano. Because you can tell I can talk, you can talk forever about this story. But,
oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So his main, his most well-known avant-garde composition is Ballet Mécanique, which he wrote to synchronize 16 player pianos and gongs and sirens and propellers and all kinds of things. So it was that idea of a paper roll and a player piano, which has punched holes in it to tell the piano which frequencies of music to play. They did the same thing. They just made it a lot smaller and had it be hopping radio frequencies.
When did she pass away?
2000, January 19th, 2000. She really wanted to live into the 21st century, and she did.
Yes. So cell phones were around when she, you know, technology was happening. So she definitely knew that this was happening because of her and didn't and could do nothing about it. How sad is that?
Well, you know, she did. She died in 2000, and the first she got a thank you was in 1997. Which was 55 years after the patent.
Right.
And, so the Electronic Frontier Foundation called her up and said they wanted to give her the Pioneer Award for the Secret Communication System. And
I'm thinking that should be enough evidence right there to prove that she created it. Her family should take that. I mean, you're talking $30 billion or more, the money that the...
Like per year, probably. I don't know. Yeah, some say $30 billion, but it's worth billions of dollars every year. So,
right.
Yeah. She would have been, they would have been the richest people in the world.
Yeah, they must be able to get some piece of that. I mean, that award right there is proof that she's the inventor of it, you know. But like you said, she got the patent as proof, but it expired. So
it expired.
You know,
so it was, it's sort of fair game once it expires.
Exactly. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but she was happy that it came to some good, even though she didn't get anything out of it.
I had seen something that she, you know, when she was hanging out, well, I shouldn't say hanging out, when she was working with or whatever, with Howard Hughes, that she actually kind of helped make airplanes as well. I mean, other than the Wright brothers, but she, the wings, she changed the wing status to make the planes more of a jet. And she get credit for that or no?
Yeah.
Did she get credit for that at least?
No. Yeah, so they were dating. You know, he was like a serial dater and proposed to everybody.
Yeah.
And they were dating for a time, but it was really that they could discuss ideas. That was the most exciting thing for her. And so, like I said, ideas came to her easily. And it was sort of, she used common sense.
Right.
Just like hopping frequencies, radio frequencies. So she knew he wanted to have the fastest airplanes, but she looked at his designs and they were really boxy. Like the wings were very square.
Square,
and she said,
yeah,
it won't be fast like that. They shouldn't be square. She did the most logical thing. She thought about what are the most aerodynamic things in nature. She bought a book on fish and found the fastest fish. And she bought a book on birds and found the fastest bird and combined those shapes into an airplane design with fluff wings. Yeah, and Howard told her she was a genius.
Right. Well, she was. Geez, you know, I mean, besides being beautiful and a great actress, and on top of it, her intellect alone was more empowering than that, you know, so more empowering than being a great actress and being beautiful, but... Let's get to the play here. Now, the play, you are behind everything, the financing and everything, or not? Because this has been going on for a while, and you've been all over the country with this show.
Yeah, I'm a self-producing artist. And I'm now working with a booking agent, newly working with him this year, Krishner Creative Artists, with Owen Krishner. He's out of California. But I do all my own bookings. I researched the show. I wrote the show, developed it along the way. And I've moved into, a lot of booking the show with different theaters and performing arts centers around the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I take it all around the world. So not only to theaters and arts festivals, but to science festivals, science centers, museums.
Yeah, because it's not only entertaining, it's a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah, it's an experience. And I play all the characters. So in the full version, I play 36 characters.
I was going to ask, how are your impressions since you do all these roles?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, some of them are very specific. Some are people are characters people wouldn't know how they sounded. So, you know, sometimes you take dramatic license and make choices in order to tell the story in a way that the audience is, you know, knows what's happening at each moment and knows who each person is. Mm-hmm. I mean, some are very specific, like Jimmy Stewart. So he was her favorite co-star. So we have a little scene with him coming in. So I enjoy that. I took from a Merv Griffin episode she was on. So I take something she said about Jimmy and I put that into a scene.
And you wrote this and everything. Wow. Oh, my God. How long did it take to put this all together for you? To actually get it on the road.
On the road. Well, I mean, it's sort of a long process. I wanted to do something, but I didn't have the courage to, you know, write it myself. So then I got somebody else who's going to write it. And that took a couple years and nothing happened. And so I'm like, okay, I have to write it myself. That took another year. But by the time I sat down to do it in 2016, I wrote the bulk of it in a residency in about 9 days. And then that was the end of May in 2016. And I had the first reading that July and then premiered it November 9th, 2016, which was just over 6 years ago, on what would have been Hetty's 102nd birthday.
Oh, wow. Are you revisiting it again, or has it been going on since 2016?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've taken around the U.S. I've also been to Ireland, Northern Ireland, Italy, Sweden, Finland, Ukraine, Iceland, Egypt, Zimbabwe, and South Africa.
Amazing. My goodness. And everybody, and I would guess the folks in, have you ever done it in Germany?
I have not yet done it in Austria or Germany.
Yeah, they would love it.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a lot of streaming over the pandemic because even though I play 36 characters, the most important relationship is Hetty's relationship directly with the audience. That's why it's important to be in person. But I did a few performances live online, and one of them was for a women's group of business women. And I performed it online for them, and it was on Zoom, so I had them all on my screen. So it felt like I had my audience there in front of me. So I did do that for Germany, and then one of the people attending is in Switzerland, and she had me perform for her 60th birthday celebration, so friends she had from all over the world could watch it online and be part of it.
Nice. Yeah. And now you I believe you've got this week the shows are starting, right? Over in New York,
This week. Yes, yes. So this is, I'm finally bringing it back to the city. I, of course, when I did it in November 2016, I was off Broadway, and I've done it a few more times, but it's been 4 years since I've done it in the city, and I'm really excited because I'll be bringing it to the AMT Theater, which is a new off Broadway venue, started by Al Tapper, and it's on West 45th Street at 354 West 45th Street. And, so it's going to be December 9th through 11th, 2022, of course. So it'll be Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 5.
Nice. And where can folks go to get more information and tickets or is the website?
Well, there's, so my website is my name, heathermassie.com.
Mm-hmm.
So Heather, M-A-S-S-I-E.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if they look at the list of upcoming shows, there's a link there for tickets. But also, there are a couple other ways to get in. There's a tiny URL I made. So it's tinyurl.com/HedyNYC. So that's slash H-E-D-Y NYC.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we're on the AMT theater
website.
So AMT theater. Theater
mm-hmm.
with an ER, so amttheater.org
mm-hmm.
slash productions.
Nice.
And then
after that, you're on to the APAP conference in New York City in January, then on to Scottsdale, Arizona, and then you're all over the place.
Scottsdale, Arizona in January. I'll be in Sarasota, Florida with the Sarasota Jewish Theater Company in February. I'll be somewhere uptown in Manhattan next year. I have an Upper Manhattan Empowerment Zone grant, so I'm still waiting for my venue to be available, the one that's in my neighborhood in West Harlem. Yeah, and then I'll be April, I'll be in Illinois at Millikan University. And who knows where else? There's a possibility I'll be in Kuwait. So.
Wow.
Maybe back in South Africa. Yeah, I'm working on a lot of things.
Let's say, I know you said you've been there before, but like South Africa, what kind of reaction do you get from the audience from a country like South Africa?
Oh, really wonderful. To be honest, the country that I've done the most work in outside the U.S. has been South Africa.
Really?
Yeah, they're very receptive to it. South Africa is really working to be a science and technology leader and really trying to foster that in their education.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I think there's something like 19 or maybe more science centers in South Africa. And there's the South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've worked with a lot of the science centers, and this year, finally, I was supposed to go in 2020, but I went to SciFest, SciFest Africa, which is there in South Africa, and it's the largest science festival in Africa, and that was very exciting. So I've also played a theatrical venue, Theater on the Square in Sandton, which is in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
I played Cape Town at a theater that was there, Alexandra Bar, all kinds of places. I was in George, at the George Art Theater. I also went to Khayelitsha, which is a shack town, so a very disadvantaged community on the outskirts of Cape Town. And I worked with an organization called the Tope Foundation. Tope means girl. So an organization to really empower the young women in this community. So I did a workshop with them with improvisation exercises and did some scene work and then performed the show for them. So that was really neat.
Nice, nice. Now your background in education is nothing to cry about as well. I'm you know what I'm trying to, like, oh my God, I can't speak. It's been a rough 2 weeks.
I understand
girl.
What
I
you mean. Oh my gosh, you know, whatever.
But your scholastic background is very impressive as well, I'm going to say. But now with that, what do you enjoy more, the acting or working in astronomy or anything in that type of area? Astrophysics.
Well, I never worked in astronomy or astrophysics. I didn't quite get that far in that.
No, but you loved it, though. You loved it at a time.
I did, yeah. And I wanted to be an astronaut.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't work in that, but, you know, okay, so that goes back to when I was eight. So when I was eight in third grade, I decided I wanted to be an astronaut because of the shuttle program.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to be an inventor because I studied Thomas Edison, and I wanted to work with animals. But I knew I couldn't be a vet because I couldn't put animals down. But, so the thing is, now through acting, I get to do all those things because I'm working to have a trilogy of shows on celebrating women in science.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first. I'm Hedy Lamarr, inventor. So I get to be somebody who's not the white man model of invention. I get to be Hedy Lamarr. And then I am currently researching to write my second show on the astronaut Sally Ride, America's first woman in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only was Sally an astronaut, she was also an astrophysicist.
Mm-hmm.
And then for my third, I'm thinking of featuring primatologist Jane Goodall.
Really? Wow. Well, I wanted to ask you about your schooling and your, like you said, you want to be an inventor as well. Have you ever invented anything?
I invented this play.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I think, you know, when I talk to kids, I'm like, well, you write a poem. That's invention. Nobody ever put words together that way before.
Yeah.
So I think of invention a little bit more widely than just mechanics. Creativity is inventing.
Yes, any creation.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, in terms of my schooling, I thought I'd go barrel through and get a doctorate, but since I wasn't in sciences and I took time off and started acting and then went back and finished in theater arts, I just have a bachelor's degree in theater arts, but I did graduate summa cum laude. And one of the biggest accolades I've had is that I served as a Fulbright specialist to South Africa with the show in 2019. Yeah.
Mm. Well, when you do the Sally Ride one, that may be a little close to home for you then, with her being an astrophysicist and you'd be wanting to be an astronaut. You might really, really, really enjoy that one more than you do Hedy Lamarr.
Oh, I love them all. But so I in my research, I was really lucky that I got to spend a few weeks ago, I got to spend a week with her. She's passed away from cancer, but I spent a week with her sister Bear and Bear's wife Susan, and I got to visit with Sally and Bear's mom Joyce, and I got to be there for her 99th birthday party.
Oh, wow.
So it was a great fun. The Ride family is a lot of fun. So
nice. You can't write it without being close to them, right? So I mean, you got to get the feel for everything too.
Yeah.
So, but
So
I want to ask you: do you know if anybody has seen a photo of Hedy Lamarr after she had the botched surgery?
So she had a lot of plastic surgery and she actually invented a lot of the procedures she had.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
she did. But the way I look at it, she was trying to maintain this look that everyone expected her to have, which is a burden and impossible. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, at the time, people weren't used to seeing somebody who'd had plastic surgery. Now we see, she looks lovely. She's had some work, but that's nice. You know, she looks beautiful, but people just weren't used to it then. There are a few photos out there. Yeah. She still looks lovely as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I was going to say. What, did she look that bad, or was it just her personally that she didn't care for the way she looked?
No, people are just effing cruel. Press is cruel.
Yeah. No, you're
right. And she had some bad episodes where she was accused of shoplifting but was acquitted of those charges. So there was some trauma there, and she just sort of kept to herself in her latter years. Spoke on the phone quite a lot. So there are some photos. I mean, I'm friends with Arlene Roxbury, who was her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
She has some photos, and, you know, she tells me stories about about Hetty and just said that Hetty would have loved me, which is, you know, warms my heart because I really want to be honoring her as best I can. I'm actually doing the show for a club that Arlene is in, Amityville Women's Club. I'm doing early in the year, and I'm doing that, you know, for Hetty because it's for Arlene's.
Very
for
nice,
Arlene's ladies. Yeah.
Very nice. How long is the show? How long is the show? An hour, 90 minutes?
Yeah, the full show. I get to finally do the full show in the city again. I don't always get to do it because some people want shorter versions, but this is going to be the full show. It's 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the 90 minutes, we have, I have some time with the audience if they have any questions about this fascinating story. So we have
Very
some
nice.
Time for that after the 90 minutes. Yeah.
Very nice. Oh, do you open as a child of Hetty or no, just as like looking back as an adult?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. So what happens, you discover through the first scenes of the play that like the audience has summoned Hetty from the beyond in order to explain how it is that someone so unexpected was able to create this technology that we use every day.
Yeah.
There's like an ethereal moment. She's summoned back. And that's how she summons other people to be there. Oh,
right.
I need to know. I need something that George Sanders has to say. So let's have him come in, you know? So then he comes in and, explains how nobody ever listened to her because she was so beautiful, that kind of thing. Yeah. So that sort of in the audience like takes this journey with her, and so it really does. Then finding that she goes up from childhood all the way through her life.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And how many seats does the AMT is it AMT ATM theater? What is it? The
AMT.
ATM, right?
I did that the other day. AMT. So it's there's AMT because Al Tapper is the one who started it. And AMT, that's his initials. Al's initials.
Mm.
Yeah.
How many seats does it hold there at the AMT theater?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a newly renovated 99-seat theater,
mm-hmm.
about Times Square. And really, they're... Mm-hmm. Their mission is to make a difference in individuals' lives, doing new works, encouraging new writers and directors.
Nice.
They present children's productions and encourage young people to get involved in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do cabarets and work with international artists, ultimately wanting to move shows onto Broadway.
Right. Now,
so that's their intent.
Right. And while you're doing Hetty, I mean, is there any downtime that you could be starring in any other roles in Broadway at this moment?
I will love.
I know there is no downtime. I don't even know what downtime is.
Self-producing as well, right? So,
yes.
Yeah, when you're self-producing, you're never done. Like, you're never, ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like doing other projects, and actually on Wednesday with Workshop Theater, I'm doing a reading with my friend Jerry and Raphael, who has had quite an illustrious career in the many New York shows, including like Three Penny Opera, like very seminal productions of that, and many other shows through the years. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, doing that Wednesday.
Nice.
Yeah, I would like to find more balance and have time to audition for other plays and films and TV. But you know, because
you're booked out for months here. You're going all over the place, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes things can fit, and I just need to keep my eye out more for it. Especially now that, you know, we're coming out of COVID more.
Well, speaking of that, what did you do during COVID? I mean, other than you try to do a few streams, but now New York, you're in New York. What is the theater life like right now over in New York? Because I know it's still not back to normal.
It's not normal, but there is a lot going on.
Mm.
Of course, Broadway. I was lucky yesterday to go see Between Riverside and Crazy is in previews right now.
Oh, okay.
And I had seen it when it was originally done in 2014, 2015 off-Broadway,
mm-hmm.
because it got the Pulitzer in advance, to Broadway. So I'm out of town a lot, so I don't get to see as much as I'd like to. So it was really nice to go see that
this week.
I've spent a lot of time in Virginia as well, but I kind of feel now I live in New York and Virginia and wherever in the world I am today.
Very nice. But I was just going to say, folks, go check it out. It's Hedy, The Life and Inventions of Hedy Lamarr. It's December 9th through the 11th at the AMC Theater in New York. So go check it out and go to the website, heathermassey.com and amttheater.com. That's AMT as in T as in Tom, not C. I'm not saying AMC. So, but
AMT.
It really sounds fascinating. It sounds, and I never knew she was an inventor until I spoke to you. So I learned something as well. And I wish I could go check it out. Unfortunately, I'm crazily booked myself. So, but it sounds like a really great show, Heather. And you're giving it your all. I don't know how you're not dropping dead there.
My voice is tired today. I'm like, am I okay? So I'm going to have to take care of myself tonight.
Do you do any singing in the show or no? It's all narrative.
Oh, a very tiny bit. A very tiny bit of singing. You know, I should also give a shout out to, because I'm also doing this with the aid of Vital Theater Company. And so they do theater for young audiences. Right now they're doing mostly Fancy Nancy's Splendiferous Christmas, which is on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have one more performance of Pinkalicious. So that's really lovely. And all those are on, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Quick Fix, but it's Q-I-K, so Q-I-K-T-I-X.com. So all of their shows and mine are on there. And one of my solo friends, Antonia Casper, she's doing her solo show, 45 Coffee Dates, her search for her soulmate through cyberspace and beyond. It's a lot of fun. That's happening the following week. So it's going to be the 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Very nice.
Thursday through Saturday.
Very, very cool. I did want to ask you this, since you're the Hedy expert. Is it true that they based Catwoman off of Hedy Lamarr?
I think that's more that one of the actresses that played Catwoman used Hedy as sort of her role model for the show. The character of Disney's Snow White was definitely based on Hedy. Because when artists create a character, an animated character, they often use a well-known person as their ideal for the role or for the way it looks and moves and all of that. And Hedy Lamarr was that for Disney Snow White. And you can definitely see it in the dark hair.
Yeah.
Or in the middle.
Well, Heather, you are something else. I mean, not only did you like study her, you just threw yourself into her life. And you just gained this extra persona of being Hedy Lamarr. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I really have a mission with it. And having, when you're an artist and self-producing, really defining your mission is important. So mine is to inspire audiences. Especially to encourage young women in science and technology and to establish Hedy Lamarr as a role model for intelligence, ingenuity, and invention.
Well, mission accomplished with me. You definitely taught me a little something tonight, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and a fun side note is how we got connected, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So we got connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell it?
No, go ahead. I was going to mention, I forgot, because I basically were just talking, but I forgot that I wanted to mention I love Harvey Korman, of course, and I loved him in Blazing Saddles when they kept saying, it's Hedy Lamarr, Hedley, you know, it was just so funny.
Yep.
You know, growing up, I mean, I knew of Hedy Lamarr. I mean, you know, you're talking old black and white films, classic, and, you know, as a kid at the time, I loved them too, but, you know, and then when Blazing Saddles came out and they kept calling him Hedley, you know, it was just Hedy and his name was Hedley.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And I always thought of that whenever that came on, Hedy and Hedy. Well, obviously it goes in together, but I had Chris Korman on, maybe a couple weeks ago, and he's Harvey Korman's son. And he mentioned you, and I said, well, let's get her on before she does her show so we can let people know about it. So, and he said, yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. Wonderful guy. I'm so glad we got to know each other.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chris Korman's delightful. And he reached out to me after we had both been on the Jim Masters show.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, so... of course, I think Blazing Saddles and this joke Mel put in about Hedley Lamarr sort of served to keep Hedy's name in the American psyche. Now,
I think
she wasn't
happy.
She did not like to. She didn't like to be made a joke of, but it actually served her well in a way.
Yeah, well, it piqued my interest about Hedy Lamarr at the time too. It's like, oh God, remember Hedy Lamarr? You know, it just brought it all back. You know, so but Chris is a wonderful guy, and I actually have to call him or email him. I definitely, maybe I'll shoot him a call tonight. I've got a few things to take care of, but well, Heather, thank you so much, and the play sounds it sounds wonderful, and again, you've thrown your life into it, and there's no more commitment than that, and it's got to be phenomenal, and You sound like a wonderful person, and I've seen the reel. Your acting is fabulous as well. So
thank you,
guys. Check it out.
Thank
it's
you.
Hedy, the life and inventions of Hedy Lamarr. Go check out the website. You can check everything out there. HeatherMassey.com, and then also AMTTheater.com, and it's running in New York City right now.
Yes.
This week,
AMTTheater.org.
Yes. Sorry about that.
It gets mixed up all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's running from December 7th through the 11th at the AMT Theater. So, and then more, tons of other
the 9th
shows.
Through the 11th.
What did I
the
say?
The 9th through the 11th. You said
what
7th, but it's because it's at 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday.
Oh,
and
God,
5
yeah.
on Sunday, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
pardon
December
me.
9th through 11th. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, God. And you can tell I'm no astrophysicist, huh?
No. You are a fellow artist and very well needed.
I'm just a tired person, that's all. But when he told me that your show was this week, I said, well, we got to do it before then because I don't normally do a show on a Monday. So I said, let's get her in, you know?
Yeah.
So we had to let everybody
know
about it.
Yeah, I usually do Wednesdays and Sundays, right?
Yeah. But if somebody needs to let people know about something, I'm here, so.
Yeah, special edition.
Yes, absolutely. That's I call
special
it
special edition of Applause Radio.
What do I call it? Oh, God. I haven't said it in a long time. Something broadcast. I forgot what I even called it. I forgot now. Oh, I can't even think anymore, Heather. My God.
Yeah, you need to sleep.
I need a vacation. That's what I really need. I need a vacation. But the last time I took a vacation, I didn't come back for 6 months. So, so I'm afraid to take another vacation. No, I wound up having some issues going on in that time. So it was so weird. I went on vacation, took time off, and a whole bunch of things just went haywire in my life. And it was 6 months before I came back on. I did a show maybe once a month, if that, if I did one, and I wasn't going to come back. And then a lot of people were saying, oh, you need to come back. And I enjoy doing it. So I said, okay, I'll come back. So
Thank
I'm glad
you.
I
You're
did.
Definitely
I,
doing
I,
good.
I'm glad I did. I wouldn't have met you had I not come back. So.
Yeah. Well, you're doing good in the world, and obviously.
And so are you.
People were asking for more, so thank you.
Yeah, well, they're asking for more of Hetty as well, so you got to keep going and as long as you can too. So, and we'll be looking forward to your.
Oh, I'm planning to.
Yeah, we're looking forward to your Sally Ride show too. You have to let me know when you do that, so you come on back and talk about that. That's going to be a good one for you. That's going to be a good one for you. But
Heather
Massey. Check it out, Hetty, The Life and Inventions of Hetty Lamarr, this week, December 9th through the 11th. I said it right, at the AMT Theater, at amttheater.org or heathermassey.com. Check it out and go check out the show. It sounds like a great show and a great time. So, Heather, thank you so much. It was great talking to you and have a great time.
Thank you. I will. The audiences make it fun.
Absolutely. Is it interacting with the audience a lot? Do you bring
them
in
well,
at all?
Yeah, so Hetty's speaking with the audience throughout.
Okay.
So that's why I say the audience is that relationship between Hetty and the audience is the most important relationship in the show.
Right.
So it's a journey. It's a journey.
Right, so doing it online or streaming is just not the same thing. Well, not that it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
At all,
rip my
anyway,
heart out.
But, oh, I bet.
My heart out.
Well, good luck. Safe travels on your other shows across the world. And you come on back now, you hear?
All right. Thank you, Joanne. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
You too. Everybody, Heather Massey. Heather, take care.
Yay.
It was a pleasure.
You
bye-bye,
too.
Heather. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Heather
Thank
Massey,
you.
Folks. Check it out. Hetty, The Life and Inventions of Hetty Lamarr. I had no idea Hetty Lamarr was an inventor. And not only an inventor, she is the reason why you are listening to me now. Your cell phone, computers probably even play a role in that. And God only knows how many other inventions she had. She never really shared them, a lot of them. The ones she did, they really didn't pay her any mind because she was just a beautiful woman. They didn't think she had a brain, and she did. So check out the play if you're looking for something to do in the city, if you're in New York this week, and then go to Heather's website and you can check out the other dates. She's going to be all over the place. But this week she happens to be in New York, December 9th through the 11th at the AMT Theater, amttheater.org or heathermassey.com. So. Oh my God, you mean I get a day off tomorrow? Wow. It's just been nonstop, folks. That's what I said. Once I come back, I'm back. And it's been a tough 2 weeks at my day gig, so doing the show. I mean, we've done how many shows? Look at this. I got the calendar here. We've done back-to-back. I think I had one day off last week. I had one day off. We did back-to-back shows, and it looks to be that way for this month, too. But I have one night tomorrow where I can chill and get caught up on everything. Your emails, I will answer them. Your messages, I will answer them. It's just so hard. I'm on so many different platforms, social media, and trying to answer everything. I'm doing the best I can, folks. Be patient. I promise I'll get to you. So on the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, on the 7th, James Gavin. He's a singer and author, and he's known as one of the best autobiographers out there. And we're going to talk about a lot of his work, obviously, but I'm really interested in his George Michael book, George Michael, A Life. So I want to talk to him about that and also his other books that he's done and projects. So it's James Gavin, author, singer, and he'll be with us on the 7th at 9 p.m. Then we've got actress Sherry B. on the 14th. Not my sister Sherry B., a different Sherry B. I didn't even think of that. They call my sister Sherry B. And then the week of the 18th through the 23rd, maybe, I guess the 23rd, we'll do our Christmas shows. So far, I've got four more dates to book. If I can't get them all, it's fine. it's fine because I'm going to be exhausted then too with Christmas and everything. So, but right now we've got actor and writer and musician Rick Sudi Cavatas. He's going to kick us off on the 18th. He's got a couple new Christmas songs out. And then on the 19th, we've got Larry Chance from Larry Chance and the Earls. He's got a couple of songs out Christmas and also a new duet out with Billy Vera from Billy Vera and the Beaters. They did a remake of Stand By Me, yeah, and it's really good, so we're going to play that for you guys too. So again, check it out, heathermassey.com or amttheater.org to go check out the play, the one woman show, Hedy, the life and inventions of Hedy Lamarr. Not only entertaining but educational at the same time, and that's cool. And you want the kids to go too, and that sounds like something she should be going around. I meant to say that to her, to go around to schools, you know, and do shows at schools for the kids. But I'm sure she's thought of that. She's got a head on her shoulders for sure. Very smart, talented, and she's killing it out there. Her Sally Ride play is going to be phenomenal too, because especially with her love of wanting to be an astronaut, it's just going to top it all off for her. All right, what are we going to play tonight? What are we going to close out with tonight? I don't know. I don't have much here up here saved in the, I like this one. I'm going to close it out with this. I love this one. So, again, see us on the 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern with author, singer, James Gavin. And we're going to talk about his book, George Michael, A Life, and also everything else he's done. So, Heather Massey, thank you very much. Check it out, Hedy, The Life and Inventions of Hedy Lamarr, December 9th through the 12th, 11th. I don't know now. I'm sleeping again. I think the 11th, 9th through the 11th. And it's over at the AMT Theater, amttheater.org. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, well, I'm a friendly stranger in the black sedan. Won't you hop inside my car? The nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. And now I'm sure you know that I love you. I need you. I want you. Got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love you. Take you to Hollywood. But if you wanna see just like you are, you know I think you really should. I'm your feel, baby. I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your feel, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love ya, I need ya, I want ya, got to have you, child. Great God in heaven, you know I love. in here, then you know I love you. Ooh, and I'm your vehicle, baby. Oh, don't you know I love you?
Love
I need you. I want you just to have your sky. Great God in here, then you know I love you. Great God in heaven, you know I love you.